We are interviewing Clark and Cooney Jones, who did not live in the mountains, but lived very close to them. Clark, where was it that your original home was?
Well, we went it. And my daddy died at 8 years old up there where Dim is. We called Marston Hill.
Marston Hill?
Marston Hill.
Okay.
Marston Hill. My daddy died up there, and I stayed right up here with my grandmother Clark.
All right. Now,
most of the time.
How many were in your family?
It was four of us. Three boys and one girl.
Okay. Was it normal to have larger families than that?
Some of them did. My uncle, Mad, which would be my double first cousin, they had three girls and two boys.
Uh-huh. How close were the houses? Were they fairly close to each other?
Well, they weighed just about the distance from here to Mid Woolley to Dim's, and then back over here to Molden, and then on back over here, you know where I called the worst place.
Would that be about a quarter of a mile, would you say?
Yeah, wouldn't you say so, Dim? Around
about that up to the Woolley Street?
Yeah, I'd say another mile. Quarter of a mile to a mile and a half, two miles apart.
Okay. Now, Cooney, how about you? Where was it that you were born?
I was born very close to the park line.
Uh-huh. Where?
Beg your pardon?
Where?
Just Brown Hollow.
Okay. Now, what was it like there? How far apart were the houses?
They were not too far apart. They were kind of more or less within calling distance.
We get the dog.
Okay, they were within calling distance.
Yeah, there was Mrs. Dingus, Mrs. Bean, Mrs. DeWine, and Mrs. Jones.
Okay, then that was quite... There were lots of different families,
yes.
Wasn't it? What was your maiden name?
Kaiser.
Kaiser. Oh, yes, there are a lot of Kaisers that are around here. That's a good name. Clark, what was your mother's maiden name?
Bertha.
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 Bertha
Clark.
Oh, Bertha Clark.
Yeah.
Okay, was she a close kin to your father?
No. My father was Clarence Jones. And then my grandfather on my father's side was Ed Jones.
Mm-hmm.
He lived over there, Ed Booth lived over there at the place.
It's called the Old Jones place.
They called it the Old Jones place. Foster had it.
Okay, so that's how you got the name Clark, right?
Right.
Right.
Yeah,
okay, what was your house like?
Huh?
How was it built? Was it a log house or?
Well, I had, we did actually, we went it. Some of them were log houses, some of them were frame houses. And the house we lived up there with them, we lived, part of that was all. The water wound broke down and the board jammed in, you know, jammed in up to where they wanted to do it.
Right.
And wasn't no nails to drove in. It's like a sliding door. You slide each board out.
There were no nails in the whole house.
And, it nailed in the fold, you know, in the framing. But to the station part of the house, where the wound was stationed off, there was an inch hole there for an inch board to go through, and for to divide the wound, you just step the boards in. That's the way it was up there.
I see. Now, how much acreage did you have?
Well, they know what some of them, we didn't have old supper acres on it, and some place we didn't have but a Darden part.
Well, then, how did you, were you able to raise vegetables?
Oh, yeah, we were my mother can, and we go another can in the winter, for the summer.
What vegetables did you grow?
Beans, taters, and tabbit, and half a barrel of trout, and two or three hogs to butcher.
You allow the hogs to run loose?
We did where we could, we would, and sometimes we have to keep them in the bin.
Uh-huh, right. Okay, did you have any cows?
Had one there.
You had a cow?
Yeah, one there.
Great. Cooney, now let's ask about you. What sort of a house did you live in?
We lived part in a log, part frame.
Okay.
We had one big log room. Uh-huh. Had an enormous fireplace in it.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, but we always called that. Somebody come in and say, where is so-and-so? We would say, in the house. And that room, that big log room, we called the house. I don't know why, but it was a nine-room house, but we called that log room in the house.
Uh-huh.
And that, immediately we knew it was in the big log room where the fireplace.
Yeah. Okay. How many were in your family?
There were born 10 children. They lost one, an infant drowned, and raised 9 children.
Raised 9.
3 girls, I mean, 3 boys and 7 girls.
Oh, dear.
We lost one little girl.
Did you have any particular jobs that you had to do?
Other than to go when we had the dogs box, see what they had up the street. Oh, yeah, we had to work. We'd get out and play, but we need to get home.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had a lot of cows to milk and hogs to feed.
Mm-hmm.
Milk to be separated, cream to be churned, and butter to be printed. And garden vegetables to be picked and prepared for the next day. Because when you get 11 people at the table,
yeah,
plus 2 or 3 other people that are helping.
Yes.
It had a great long old poplar table, two wide boards in it.
Oh, boy.
And Dad always said, one in Mama there.
Uh-huh. How many acres do you recall that you had?
I think something like, counting grandfather's place, father went to grandfather's place, but he had about 500 acres.
500 acres?
Yeah.
All in this same hollow?
Yeah. It's all around there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people bought it up and building on it.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them about 4 or 5 acres or 3 acres.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What do you call those people coming to buy up?
Development. Yeah, right.
We developed a long time ago.
Yeah. You know, I forgot to mention, Jim, that you are helping me with this interview. Jim Northrup is assisting with this, and I forgot all about it.
Cooney,
did
any of the land that your family owned become parkland?
Not yet, has it, Carl?
Yeah, part of what, Tony, that's part of the top end of it.
Oh, yeah, but because I was so high up, north.
But you were on up on top of the mountain, but that part of it.
You called it the Norman place?
Yeah.
Now, was that another family?
It was back before I could remember.
I see. Before you all bought the place,
yeah.
The family named it Norman.
Norman. It was the place right on top of my, right on top of Blue Ridge, right there. And just where it is. The old Sealock went in there. He owned it now. He bought it because it was sold. When after Daddy died, Mama died, settled it up, and they sold that place. And old Sealock. Old Sealock bought it soon after his death. I think his wife still has it.
Yeah, she had it. I meant to be a finger.
Mr. Jones, when you raised corn, didn't you?
No, I didn't. We 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 but don't I hog in the fall deer, like say we didn't own it, and when my father, for far was by deer.
Where did he work?
He worked for Grim.
Doing what?
In the orchard.
Ah, up in the mountains?
Yeah, up on side that peak.
Okay, apple orchard?
Yeah, it was the apple orchard. That was, I said, well, though, that was for the apple. When half he died, we died out our money for the winter. Mm. In other words, a big apple didn't fall the over.
And the orchard was located on the side of the peak.
You know where Bob Waller at?
Yeah.
Well, in other words, you know, right in there, the George Fletcher set the orchard out. George Fletcher set the orchard out and had one of these old up and down sawmills. You know, the city of Tucker's all up and down sawmills. And touch them and built a great big house, nice house over there. And set the orchard out, and then he'd step a vine and find it doesn't did and it didn't pay for it. And then Hank, Clifford Grimm and Carter, taking it over. Then they own the money, and they taking it over then, and went over. The park tape.
Okay, now, have you any idea how much your father made working there?
No, I wasn't, but he did old when he died. Uh-huh. He did old.
Uh-huh. But it was enough so that you could buy flour and buy food if you needed.
Oh yeah, we had plenty to eat, and if somebody dealt some in, we had enough for him too.
Okay, so with your father's money that he earned, and with the vegetables and the hogs and chickens that you had and the cow, you had plenty to eat.
Yeah, well, wait.
How about the store? Where did you go to buy your things?
Well, went down here, Penny Hill, at Frank Gehry's.
Frank Gehry?
Yeah, Boo Bradford got the store now. But that belonged to Frank Gehry.
Did you ever stop by a mill, a grinding, you know, where they made flour? Would you buy flour from there?
Well, we bought this hand of flour, but a lot ton of down here. We forced to have it. In other words, that was the closest, when I come along, that was the closest meal we had. We do that. And in the winter time, you want to step a little store there, you want a little coffee, sugar, or backer, Lucy Turner, she stepped that end of it, a little kerosene, all of it there, and it, or they tell you what torn meal you want, or you tell you corn there, and they exchange it for torn meal.
Yeah.
They do either one with you.
Right.
They do either one with you.
Sure. So you paid cash for all the, like, the flour that you bought.
Wait.
Now, your clothes, did your mother make your clothes?
My mother, my Aunt Molly, mid-teen down there. Papa lived there on her face, that tall road where Donnie Easham lived.
Mm-hmm.
Lived that there with you. And as Papa died, mid-teen would take two souls, you know, that they didn't want. And my mother and my Aunt Molly would whip them up and turn them out and to fit us and make us a suit of clothes out of
them. Right. How about shoes? Did you wear shoes all year round?
Yeah, I did. Thought I'd better stump my toes.
You were spoiled.
I crossed the pool barefoot at death.
Did you ever have those metal things on the soles of your shoes?
Yeah, oh, hobnail. Now, that is one of them I know the other day up at Mid Woolley. What the dog like a horse do? He'll pay. If one of them up and now,
I need a
door me bullet and the thorn out. If one of them up there, feed right around, he'll do too.
Right.
One of them up there.
It helped you climbing the mountains, didn't it?
No. It set you down on these rocks.
You'd slip on the rocks,
yeah, brother. Yeah, it'd be the metal in them. I'm near to slide right up on you.
I've used them.
And you hit a walk. All right, on you were on dirt. But don't. You stepped on a hog or a walk, a fat walk, and don't mean that do have money. He want to watch you.
I'll be darned. Did you, how far away was your school?
Well, they had the school right down here toward all day or two. And right up here, it's up here in this hut. And there I had the old log yonder now in the barn. My mother went to school in that. That's all that all day or two do. And then white on the upper wall that to the white that in a little pen, it was another tool that my grandmother went to.
But they weren't that far apart, were they? School wasn't that far away, was it?
No, they know the woods. It said white like do you owed your two eggs to them.
Uh-huh, right.
Now, Clark, you own a piece of land down here now that has what you call the schoolhouse field.
Yeah, right.
And how many people went to school in that
school? About 75, 80, something in that neighborhood.
And what were the ages of the children who went to school there?
Well, they went there about 88 years old. Some of them were 15, 16, or 17 years old.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Now, were there any schools further up the mountain than that one?
One by the end of the top. It was all in that old barn. They're taking it down. The dogs from up there and brought them down here and built the barn at it.
Right.
That was all that. My mother went to school last.
How far did school go, and was it during the winter or summer or when?
It was in the winter.
That was good, because otherwise you were needed on the farm, weren't you?
Yeah, we worked in some.
Yeah, you were busy. So having it in the winter and not being far away, you could go to school, right?
Right.
All right. Now, how far did you go through school?
I went to fourth grade.
Fourth grade. And you were taught reading, writing, arithmetic?
Right.
History?
Yeah.
Geography?
Yeah.
You were lucky.
All of that.
Great.
But I done forgot a whole lot of that.
So have I.
I don't.
Cooney, how about your school?
Bye.
Where was your school, Cooney?
I went to one-room school for 7 years.
7 years, a one-room school. They were good teachers, weren't they?
And Judge Sneed's mother taught teachers, and also his aunt.
Really?
Yeah.
What was she like?
They were good teachers.
They were?
Yeah.
What did they look like?
Our cousin Annie was tall.
Uh-huh.
She was a Kaiser.
Yeah.
And married a Sneed.
Oh, uh-huh.
She and my father were first cousins.
Oh, no wonder you learned well under her.
No,
you were the spoiled pupil.
I never did pass a spelling test, I don't think. I didn't ever put the I before the E or the U or something. There always something wrong with it. Always got an ick.
Did you have spelling bees?
Oh, yeah. and I was always at the bottom.
Yeah. Right.
It didn't take me long to get down there. I could do better with spelling by writing my words and looking, and then I could tell if the letter was where it belonged in the word.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we had spelling right on up to high school.
Right.
And then definitions on top of all of that.
Sure. Well, now I want to know about the fun you had. Did both of you? I want to hear from both of you. How about apple butter boiling? Did you do any apple butter boiling?
Yeah, we made apple butter in fall. We did.
Did you have fun when you made it?
We had peel apples. I know we're so crazy about peeling apples.
No, not the peeling part, no.
When it comes to slicing, I eat.
But
I'm putting more in this bucket and I'm putting in the other one over there. This is the apple was good.
But when you started it stirring around, did you have the...
Oh, I don't know whether you use this or not or whether you heard it or not. Probably not because they don't have apple butter boiling. People don't have fun like we had.
I know.
You started with, you had a long hammer. And on the end of that thing was a paddle.
Yeah.
And two people. One got along the stern, and when you bump the kettle, the boy was supposed to get to kiss the girl.
You're right. Right. Sure. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we'd take up. We had, what we would do is make what we called bash. We'd make a stewed apples and put them over in the gallon jar. And then next morning, we'd get up and start another kettle of sliced apples and get those into applesauce. And then we'd have applesauce to feed to applesauce, and we'd take up about 20 gallons of apple butter.
Yeah. Did you play music while you were doing the apple butter boiling?
I was supposed to, but I didn't have any ear for music.
But did any other people play it? Did other people play music?
Oh, yeah.
And did you do any dancing?
Oh, yeah, they had square dancing.
Sure.
I remember these two fellas that came down out of the park. Now, there you go. They were the Wise. And one of them played the fiddle, and then Mr. Racer took the bass. And they made good music.
Sure, right.
And I don't know, somebody in the crowd would call off the set.
Do you recall any of the tunes? Did you ever play Leather Breeches?
No.
Money Mush?
We played Preacher and the Bear.
Preacher and the Bear?
Yeah.
That's
and
a
that
new one.
We had no, that's old. That was on the cylinder record.
Uh-huh.
And the preacher decided to go hunting on Sunday morning, but and you was against his religion to take the gun along. But it took the gun along anyhow, and the bear run him up the tree.
Was that a good square dancing piece?
That was just amusement, you know.
Yeah.
And then you wind up saying, Lord, if you can't help me, don't help that boy.
Did they play the piece, Boil Them Cabbage Down?
Yeah, who did?
Yeah, uh-huh.
How's that one go, Clark?
I thought they say my poor when they making that.
Well, I can tell you what was pretty is that if you had enough and you could play it right and dance it right with Virginia Reel.
Oh, yes.
That
right.
That was really pretty.
That's right. That was pretty.
It was like long, but it was a pretty.
2 cent gal? Did you play 2 cent, that tone? 2 cent gal?
I'm just trying to think of one of those things we did play. I wish I don't know. When you're young, like you don't think about keeping those things. You think they're going to be around forever, but they aren't.
That's right.
They aren't.
Yeah. Were there any diseases that you recall?
Oh, yeah.
What?
Whooping cough, measles, chicken pox, and then... So later on, well, that was later on, though, we had one thing that we had smallpox.
Uh-huh.
Now, that was pretty serious.
Yes, that was.
Some people didn't get vaccinated for it. We all got vaccinated, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Scratch your arm.
Yeah.
And that's supposed to be good for a long time. They vaccinated me, but it didn't take the second time.
Yeah. Oh, you were still protected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then, in other words, you had a doctor that would
yeah,
come
Dr.
here.
Yeah, Dr. Smith, not Sperryville.
I've heard a lot about Dr. Smith from Sperryville.
And Dr. Yeah. Brown at Wyden. And then another Dr. Brown at Woodville.
Very
Dr.
Good.
Brown's father.
Did your mother know any herbs?
Oh, yeah.
What?
Oh, they knew lamb's quarter. I don't know whether you call that an herb or not, but that you put that in your salad.
Yeah.
And then they had everybody knows about the wild onion.
What did you do with the wild onion?
We let the cows have it.
No way. Well, you're talking about this salad, baby. Here they are right in this yard. My aunt Karen said a young tut cut 21 different kinds of weeds for salad. Poke, dandelion, and maybe I can think of a foo of them.
That's right there. A narrow leaf
duck.
Yeah.
And planting. I think that's it right there. I wouldn't say that for two. But it's planting.
But Mama
and
never would trust
and
too
it's
much
wild mustard.
Didn't know what
it's
might
wild mustard in our woods, and they cut the poke along with it, and throw a piece of fat meat in it, and took it. It was good.
Sure.
It was good.
Did you?
I'd eat part
what
of it
did
down,
your
man.
Mother give you when you had a cold?
Never stay in the house.
Did you get turpentine and sugar?
No.
Did you?
I don't believe we did. Oh, we got vinegar and sugar.
Vinegar and sugar?
Yeah.
Did it help?
Oh, yeah, it would help a little bit, you know, to open up your throat and
Did your mother make an onion plaster ever?
We never that sick. I don't remember.
Hey, you mustard. Hey, you mustard plaster.
Okay. Now, this actually happened. Yeah. Now, we had a stream of water came down by our house.
And
we'd go down in that fish and fool around down in that stream. And they'd call up old Doc Smith, come up there. One of us might have had a cold, I don't know. And so he rode on up there and he called Mom, and Mom was asleep. And he said, where are the sick folks? The mom says, I don't know. He said, I know where they are. They're down there in the creek with the straw hats catching minnows.
This is not a very happy subject, but it's one I do want to know about. When a person died, of course, they didn't have embalming in those days. So what did they do? Keep the body in the house?
Yes, but they didn't. They didn't keep it too long.
No. Now you'd have the minister come for the burial.
Oh yes.
All right. Did
people
everybody?
People would cook food and send to the house where they were sickness or death.
Sure. And everybody stayed there at the grave site until it was closed.
That's right.
Shows respect, doesn't it?
Nobody was in a hurry.
And
they would always, you know, go around, shake hands with folks and talk to them.
Did you use monuments or rocks?
Well, some rocks and some monuments. Most of them are rocks. Well, there's plenty of monuments. I don't know whether they're still there or not. And that would be in the park now. And that was a big cemetery up at Bowen.
You can still go to it, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you're allowed to go in there and clean it up and do anything you want with it.
That's the John Bolden or Bernard Bolden.
Uh-huh.
Sitting on top of the mountain.
Yeah, where they was.
Did you, did they inscribe on the rocks? Did they write anything on the rocks?
No, but you know, I haven't seen that but one time. And that was down here where
Nima
lived.
Nima.
And that'll watch it. It's a graveyard up in the corner, the stone wall around.
Uh-huh.
This comes this way. And we were in there after cattle. And I noticed, and I said, well, I see tombstones. And we got to this, and on these sandstone rocks, and there was a date. And you could make that out. But most of it had washed out or something, sandstone, I guess, washed away.
But
they were real smooth stones
mm-hmm.
that they had.
Yeah.
And you could tell that they were random.
You know, one question I didn't ask you, I'd ask Clark. Your cattle, you said you had a lot of cows.
Not now, we did.
You did? Yeah, yeah. I know. Did you let them just roam?
No.
No. Okay.
They'd be up on the park.
Some people did.
Well, Daddy rented, and that was before the park
yeah,
took it over.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
My father rented this from Miller.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to... Do you know Arthur? I don't know what you do. He used to be postmaster of Washington. Anyhow. And he still owns it up there, and if you want some information, he might give it to you.
Uh-huh.
And he got that because his father owned this whole side up here, this mountain. Come
where
on
does
over
he
here.
Live?
He lives down that close to the post office.
In Little Washington?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And his sister lives in front of the law. This is Settle, Junior Settle.
Arthur Miller.
Yeah.
And he lives in
Washington.
Little Washington.
Yeah. Near the post office. His office is right adjacent to the post office.
Uh-huh.
And he sells real estate.
I don't think Cooney is done with estate now that he had that.
Well,
dope.
He may have a sign up. I don't know where he took the
sign. I don't think he's done with estate now.
But he doesn't tell you. He's had a stroke. He doesn't talk too plain. But you can understand. At least I can.
He talk about like I do.
And,
well, I can understand you, so he must
sure,
be
sure, I can
right.
understand you. No problem with yours.
Well, do I see a cow or something up there?
No, that one of my rose bushes.
Oh, you killed the rose
well,
bushes.
Well, the wind painted up both against the wind. It fooled me every time.
Speaking of wind
I can
storms.
Remember when they had cattle up on that mountain. We had some sheep up there.
Yeah.
They had sheep up there.
We grazed it. You can get on the horse and ride. And come right down over to Washington, where there's a cluster of mailboxes up near the ski.
Yeah.
It's a road that you take, if you're going from Washington up, and you take a road to the right.
Clark, didn't you used to go over the mountain too?
Yeah,
you raised sheep. Now, then that means you had a loom, didn't you?
No.
You didn't weave it?
We had one, but we didn't use it.
Then you sold the wool?
Our wool now. That was an innocent thing. Down at Rock Mill, it's Rock Mills, isn't it?
Yeah,
Rock,
yeah,
where the
yeah,
mill
yeah,
was?
Yeah, yeah.
The old brick building, it still has a enormous flame.
Yeah.
And they had those big vats in there. And when you shed the sheep, took the wool there, they washed it, they carved it, and make you a blanket.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we went through that when we were going to school.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that building, the brick is still in it.
Yeah.
I mean, a whole lot of them are still there. They haven't mobbed it, haven't torn it down.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. That is interesting.
Well, Mary.
It's right there where the store
Mary
is.
Mary Beam. I'm sleeping right on them now. He done it by hand. He made wood trumpet. And they did it. I just stand there on you. Be like you got nothing on you, but it. Over you, but they get it warm and then be, but she wiped that wool and picked it by hand and made wool tumble.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And we turned the sheep and got the best fleeces, fleece on the sheep, you know, for us to have to make it out.
They had a frame to put the thing on, you know, and they turned it in, and a little card that made it square to get the knot
no
right.
Cooney, how much land did you need up there on the mountain to support a herd of sheep? How big a herd and how much land did you need?
Well, we just put our sheep up there with Daddy's cow.
Uh-huh.
And we didn't have that many sheep. We had about 15.
Uh-huh.
Or 20 on there.
And how much land did they have to feed on?
They said they just fed on the whole thing, whatever ran with the
cattle. Yeah, well,
they
was
just ran free up in
yeah.
what is now the park.
And they had an apple orchard up there.
Uh-huh.
Oh, the sister had an apple orchard over here. Jimmy Settle here, when there was White Junior, had her father had left her an apple orchard.
I think it was 200 acres or maybe 300 acres in that Duke field. Duke Field and Hacking Field.
I expect it's more than that.
I know
it
much.
Did you have bells on your cattle so you could...
On the sheep.
On the sheep.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Not on the cattle.
No,
Bill on the milk now, though.
We had a milk cow.
Right. So you did really sort of let them roam wherever they wanted to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. we had, you see, that was pretty well fenced in because the Millers had used it themselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then when the park took it over,
yeah.
that was when we put the cattle up there. When Bob put the cattle up there, it was a beautiful grass up there.
Yeah. That's what I've heard.
And we'd go up there horseback, come up from the other side, and then I could ride right on down the hill.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they cut, and you know what? You see great big logs up there. And you know why? They had a tannery in Sparrow Hill. And they cut those logs and peeled them.
Oh, yeah.
And hauled that bark to make the stuff you tan leather with.
Right.
And the log rotted.
Yep, right.
What kind of wood was that?
It would be just an oak.
Just an oak? White oak?
Timber.
Yeah.
Yep.
I know you said you did canning, but how did you keep your cabbages over the winter and turnips and potatoes?
Now, the way we
buried them.
Yeah.
Only way we could cane the cabbages was make croup.
Oh yeah, but didn't you bury your cabbage too?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You scoop out some earth when it's dry. We use an apple barrel. And put the apple barrel in there, and put the bottom part of the barrel down in the area farther than you did the front part.
Uh-huh.
And then you could lay some sacks or something over top and throw some dirt up on it and make a little mound there. And the cabbage were in the barrel, and you could go there and throw that sack back and stand if you had a cabbage.
Mm-hmm. How about turnips and potatoes?
Well, now, turnips are not hard to keep. You can bear turnips. And the potatoes aren't hard to keep.
Yeah.
If you don't freeze.
Yeah.
Potatoes are about nice.
They gabby talk. They gabby talk.
They
freeze
much
out.
Quicker. Now, sweet potatoes.
And
you
have
your
water sprout.
Oh, yes,
we do. Double them up, you know.
Uh-huh.
Cut the head of gabbage out.
Turnip.
Cut the head of gabbage out. And then set that gabbage talk out in a small area.
And when you
and
tub
it up with tea bomb, rub on
some what?
And have rough sprouts.
Oh.
And get great beans. And we bear some of those stock beets to keep them from freezing until we cut them up for the cattle. And heck, we cook some little fun.
That's just one of the dogs.
Yeah. It's all right.
One of my one of those. You have one in that tall thing.
Oh.
Peanut. She has a.
Got a bad cough.
He has a hairy lip.
Mm-hmm.
Split lip.
Did you ever use homemade lye soap for poison ivy?
Yeah, white. I, you know, when we worked in that, we never did bog, but when we worked in Tutnet, we used homemade soap. In other words, we used homemade soap.
And did it cure the poison ivy?
Didn't do
it. Did it cure the poison ivy?
Oh, well, it cured it, but the thing with that curing ivy, if you come in right out of where the ivy is, get your pan of water and go to work with soap or put some salt in it, stock dip or something, and wash your hands with it.
Mm-hmm.
And keep your hands working the ivy.
We use homemade soap, what we do.
But I'm pretty sure.
And that way, you know what, that's what we use all along, you know what? Did a stand, a can of hard, that got strong, and did a can of lye and four in it, and make a pot of soap.
Right.
And well, you know, I saw on the can of lye, I knew this,
make a
mini
pot of it.
Oh, really?
Now this will take I use mutton tallow to make the soap.
Mm-hmm.
And you melt that, and I don't know if I can find the recipe, I have or not. But you melt that and dissolve your lye, and then you pour them together, but you have to stir it all the time until it hardens.
Mm-hmm.
And then after it hardens, means I made that with mutton tallow. It was just as white, you could lay a piece of ivy soap beside of it, and it was just as white as that ivy soap. and put them in pail of water, and it floated.
Huh. Gosh, that's amazing. Clark, I want to ask you, did you ever have any toys like marbles? Did you play marbles? Or?
I had marbles.
Pitch horseshoes?
And pitch horseshoes. And then I've got a little trunk over at Dudden Place now. Yes, ain't Santa Claus, but.
How did you celebrate Christmas?
Well, we looked up all for firecrackers and marbles and little candy and oranges.
Uh-huh, okay.
And foo-foo oranges.
You had extra to eat, too, that day, right? You had more to eat that day.
Yeah, wait.
Tony says you have a good marble story. What's your marble story?
Well, we play marbles all day.
You know, marbles used to be a great game.
Yeah.
And two marbles all day long.
I had two marbles in the water.
And also,
as soon as they got out, we
marbles
come in to eat lunch.
Okay. We
play
croquet.
They just had 10 minutes.
And
they play marbles.
They play marbles until gone.
And we pitch horseshoes too.
Yeah.
We pitch horseshoes too.
Yeah.
We don't go.
Did anybody up around your area make any moonshine?
Yeah. Plenty of been made around this fella. This fella is outstanding about being way 94 years old. And I never seen him drunk in my life.
Now look,
he made it.
Would he sell it? Where would he sell it?
Well, you know what? He had no trouble selling it. Those times, some to his face fight, and some he deliver some of it.
Mm-hmm.
He delivered some of it.
We were looking for sheep one time up here on the mountain.
Whoop over here.
And we sat up there, and dogs had been in the sheep. And we saw this little line of smoke.
Yeah.
And we watched it there for a little while. And came on down, and down on the waterfall stream, and still stood up and whispered and screamed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wasn't it white and all?
When you had your dances, would people have drinks too?
Not so much. They'd have cider. We were made on cider. We had a cider mill. You know, that cider got a little bit hard. Some people like it, but I like mine sweet.
We used to talk about a pad. We were drunk deep.
Yeah.
Walked up on one. We sat down there, and I've been on down there. And it was two strands of barbed wire. And I went to the old barbed wire fence, and my old britches in here tossed a couple of the barbs, you know, and I winged my legs trying to get it on hooks, you know. And he pulled out his little old 42 pistol pop, he taken it up in there. I said, you stick that back in your pocket. I said, but I've been looking at you for the last 2 hours. And then I got over at where he wanted it, and there was wet one on his face. I was there no London way. That's why I was taking Danny down to get him to bed. He got to put his hand on the wound, that somehow somehow to steal. I didn't know London way, but I put his hand on the ticket.
Oh, great. Clark, did you ever do any work with the sawmills or anything?
No. I done with big plow and horses to pan for tone and making hay and hauling wood.
Oh, where would? All right, you'd haul the wood from where?
I haul wood from my grandmother to down to Flint Hill to my mother, and then haul down there for the sale too with free horses.
Didn't you used to haul some wood over the mountain to Browntown?
No, I never haul no. That did not. That was simply. He right above your face there, on that road there. He was touching these here way road tars. And he bring him way road tars out down through here and old them. But he go way him and Gracie. He had a horse with pack sacks on him and he had one. And we went to Browntown after his groceries. They get his groceries. But I was by gravel plane down to Browntown.
So a lot of these people who lived up on the mountain, instead of going to Flint Hill, they'd go over the mountain to Browntown.
Yeah, to Browntown to get their groceries.
And that was quite a walk.
That? How far was that?
Well,
it's not
too.
You can see it all right.
Too far down. Soon when you got stopped, drop off down there, ain't bound down.
Right.
So a lot of you new tee up on that drive, ain't paid today to pull off, you look right down on bound down.
I know, but that's quite a long distance.
It's quite a long distance from here up there.
Yes.
I used to walk from here to the Hackenville in about an hour and 3 quarters.
Well, that's a good long steep walk.
Well, I don't do it now, but that's what I do to walk. Walk away from here.
It's a very good road. I've ridden horseback.
And go up there and
from Browntown and bring cattle across that mountain down home.
Pick Hogwarts.
Dad would have cattle over there on pasture.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Marlowe would rent pasture to that.
Uh-huh.
And we'd drive those cattle, Dad and I'd get on that horse.
No, that field, that field.
Drive those cattle across the mountain. Come on, Dad.
That field died the name for Dukes. Dukes
on
that before Mellicott.
Well, the road enters right out into the Gore land
Dukes.
There.
Okay. By the way, how many horses did your family have?
Well, now we had a 4-horse team.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Daddy had a riding horse, and then we had a horse that drove to the buggy hole. And when we rode in there, we could get the cows.
You know, one question I have not asked either of you. How about church? Did you go regularly to church?
We went to church. Mama get us ready and had a long visit out on the porch. And she'd get one of us ready and tell us about and sit down. And we had sat down until we got to all of them ready.
Mm-hmm.
And then we could walk. We could walk to Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
And Dad and Mama couldn't walk that far, and so they'd come down in the buggy.
I see. How far was the church?
It wasn't more than about a mile and a quarter. Still there.
Yeah,
more
than
what church was it?
Baptist Church, and then they had the Brethren or Duffer Church.
That's the Gid Brown Baptist Church.
Yeah.
Still stands.
Yeah, okay. So does the Brethren Church. Red Brothers.
How about you? Did you go to church regularly?
When I was small, Mother got my wedding, and me, Dr. Browning, Edgar Browning. Wife, Sunday school teacher. I don't know whether you know Don S. Brown or not, but he retired from the bank, the Fen Hill Bank.
Oh, yes, I do know Mr. Brown.
His father one brought me in this world, and Ms. Brown and was my Sunday school teacher.
Okay, great. Well, this has been a beautiful, beautiful thing. We've learned a lot. Can you think of anything?
Yeah, I've got a couple of questions, I guess, for both of you. Clark, a couple of times you've talked about the Duke and Hackenfield fields.
Well, we in that field, Duke name, the way I understand it, family of Dukes owned that up there.
They
took the clock, and this year, and you know, they call this bank out here Day's Spring Bank.
Right.
And you know what? And that's where that dot is, Dame, and the family of Daisy. Days to live.
We don't know that, but we think.
It's just like my name went back to the car. In other words,
it's called Day Spring Bank.
And it was in the Duke Field, and Hacking Field both.
Now the branch you're calling the Days branch is now called Spruce Pine branch, right?
No, hey, that's over down by Wolf Pace.
Okay.
It's Spruce Pine.
Waterfall branch.
Yeah, they call this here Twin Falls now, what they call it.
Right.
They call it Twin Falls. But the white name is for Days Spring Bank.
Okay.
Now, what do they call us from over here?
Yeah. Spruce Pine branch.
Now, this land that we can see up here that is now the park, that was at one time open field?
All back through there. Came from Old Pace, through there. Door, owned it. And owned that in that Bob Waller Hill. And the Martin on where do that, and that was all keen. It keen to top that peak. In other words, and I could say, Dodd Fletcher. Keened it up and toward the timber. With one ease up and down sawmill,
mm-hmm.
and steadied out north, and he got in debt and didn't pay for it. And then Carter and Grim taking it over, and they stepped it down the park, taking it over.
That was all cleared land.
I've had a many wars gone in there.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you was up there where you live,
right?
On Martin Hill. You stand there and walk seen back to the dome place, seen back to the Bob Waller. And it is all cleaned up.
Okay.
It's all cleaned up.
How did the chestnut blight affect the people who lived in these mountains, Clark?
Well, they knocked them out of the turkeys, eat them, the hogs eat them. And you eat them too.
It was a good cash crop too, wasn't it?
Yeah, right.
That was a cash crop.
Yeah.
Well, in other words,
that's right.
Just the timber was the biggest loss.
Yeah.
Because we made rails.
If who old done a rail get here?
Yeah.
I got one.
It was easy to handle.
Right.
But that the timber was good.
Have you any idea how the Kaisers came here?
Now I don't know, and some Kaisers in Pennsylvania, I don't know too much about them, but now I can give you a sketch of the history of our branch.
All right.
You know, when England was at war, she hired Hessian troops.
Yeah.
Who were German.
Yeah.
To help her fight.
Right.
And I think the name was Noah Carson, and he was a butcher, and he was hired, England hired him to come over here to help fight.
Right.
And after the war, they could go back or stay, and Noah Carson decided he didn't want to go back. And he married a Dutch girl.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know, he had quite a few sons.
Mm-hmm.
And my great-great-grandfather probably was Noah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure about that.
Yeah. Okay.
But I do know that's the history of that branch of the Kaisers. And that's what they call them, flat-headed Dutchmen.
Flat-headed Dutchmen?
Mm-hmm. Well, I recall that when we had a trial down here over this water at the
Yeah.
Okay. I had a feeling that it was something like that, but I wanted it.
But some of the Kaisers, I suppose they were all, they're all Germans, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
as far as I know, I've heard anything about it.
Yeah.
Settled in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
So they settled down up there.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay. Well, this has really, really been simply marvelous. You don't know what you have done to help us.
And
can you think of any other fun times that you had aside from the apple butter boiling and Christmas and so on?
Oh,
dances.
I like to play tennis and ride horseback and play croquet. We used to get together. I mean, grown people as well as the kids. The thing that I noticed now, the grown people, they want to, you know, they all have to be a certain age, but that wasn't it with us. We had to take care of it. We were out there and we had a young brother or a little sister or somebody. Everybody saw that kid was taken care of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he could have something, you know, a ball or some kind of something to play with. Or
yeah.
Maybe get him playing ball instead of a little old rubber ball or something like
sure.
that.
Sure. The families were much closer than they are today.
Yeah.
And we didn't go off and leave them.
No.
No way. You know what a pin is called? The corn pinning and time too. You get a dollar or two out in. Sending dawn, sending dawn, and then we plant dawn. You don't hear that no more.
Well, I'll
but
tell
the
you what
dawn,
I call
it,
right
dawn,
into the
doing.
Story.
But,
I was in the garden here. It was the garden time.
Uh-huh.
The clock was on the field plowing with the horses. And I heard a hen howling, I heard the dogs bark. And I said, something's got a hen. So I got over the fence. Started on up through that, I could see where they're going, you know, dogs and whatever they had, they carried it on, you know. And I hadn't been up there very far before I saw where they had to drop the hen because the dogs were after it so close. They got rid of the hen, and dogs kept on going on up there. So I followed them on up, and it's a graveyard, and it's called Kern's Graveyard. And it was right near that graveyard, the trees. So I don't know if that was then. On the upper side of the tree, I went around there, and I saw that den was being used. But it wasn't anything I could do because it was under a rock. So I said, well, let's go there. So I decided to come on to the house. I got all down the mountain a ways. And I saw a cat up the tree. I said, what was that cat doing up there? I just thought it was a cat here from the house. Now, this was an afterthought, and I came on down from the tree and got down that little way, and I said, I'm not too sure whether that was a house cat or not, because I took a good look, and I could see the thing's eyes looking at me, and I said, that didn't look just like a cat, like one of my cat's eyes. So I turned and went back, and it was a bobcat. The dog, the tree, one went under the in the den, and one went up the tree.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't want to leave it, and I called Clark. I heard him come in, and I heard the stop out the creek and the horses drink. And I said, well, surely he was here after a while, but I couldn't get into him, and I didn't want to leave because I said, if I leave, the dogs might follow, and that thing's coming down out of the tree, and I won't get him. So anyhow, I said, well, I'm going on the house. But one dog decided to stay at the tree. So when Clark came and I told him he got shotgun went on up there and he got the thing. Now he shot the thing out of the tree.
Yeah, he just wagged me where it was to drill and what we where it was. I noticed the well, I walked right straight to it.
Uh-huh.
I done walked right straight to it.
Yeah, and we went to the wild, we found some wild turkeys.
Sure.
No, in other words, yeah, the old dump there, the Tom Easton sitting down there the other day, we had to scratch for our habit.
Yeah.
In other words, he was digging.
Yeah.
He was digging. We had plenty, but.
What made it on here, son? Who's called the father of this park?
The father of this park?
Yeah. I didn't know, but I done forgot.
A lot of people claim George Freeman Pollock is.
No, I didn't know.
Carson?
Now, whether I remember the dude even called it, what a fellow weapon was.
Judge Carson?
It might have been. Well, boy, they made me about half mad, and other words, about over today.
Oh, well, that was just a pawkling.
Yeah, I know, I mean, about this here pawpaw, and I don't think he had any business with it. Tell you the honest truth. I think he'd be dead, been dead well off, the public sit here on it.
Well, they're going to get more pawpaw.
No, they're not.
Is that going to take you anymore?
No.
I thought down there.
Hey, but a fella come here to me one of
these. Oh, maybe around Fredericksburg, but not here.
No.
One of these to come here to me, and he wanted to know that I own any land for. And he told me, he said he could, you could make them pay the up-to-date prices on it.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me that, but I never did see him here tell him anymore. I didn't know
well,
him.
Well, we don't own him.
I didn't know him.
In the waterhouse, that wasn't his.
No, he ain't know me.
Oh, we sure do. Thank you. I'm going to shut these off so that we can just have a good time reminiscing. But I sure do thank you very, very much.
Well, I get a happy end.